Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
And it's always our job to continually be enlarging our capacity to receive more than we received yesterday. He is a God that is never anticlimactic. It's always better than it was. Turn with me to Acts chapter 24, verse 25, one verse. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." I want to talk to you for a few moments on the subject, conquering the enemy of inconvenience. You may be seated. Everybody does that which is convenient, that which is easy. The quality of being convenient is simply whatever is suitable. Anything that saves or simplifies work, that is convenient. Inconvenience is the quality of being troubled, or it's more than it needs to be. The quality, the state of being inconvenient, an inconvenient circumstance, an inconvenient thing, most of all, an inconvenient time. Paradoxically, the word convenient and season seem to be inextricably joined together in the Bible, as Felix used it here in Acts, in response to Paul's call to salvation. When it is a suitable season, I will call for you. The call never came. He apparently believed. You know, so many people respond differently to the gospel, to the call of salvation, to the message of Christ. Some people just ignore it. Some people simply don't believe it. Some people become violently opposed. Some of us reach out and hold on to it, bring it into our heart. But probably most are like Felix. They probably understand the merit of it. It's just not the right time. It's been said the pathway of hell is paved with the stones of good intentions. So many people intend to sometime, but not today. Felix apparently believed. He not only believed, he was convicted. I don't see as many people as I used to, it doesn't seem like, but I've seen people tremble under the very conviction of the Lord as the Holy Spirit would come upon them, tears in their eyes, their body shaking and trembling, knowing that they're hearing the call of God. But for some reason that was not apparent, it was just not the right time for them. That's where Felix was. He was convicted to the point of trembling. Felix was the procurator by the petition of his brother. His brother was a corrupt politician. Felix was a corrupt politician. Some of the things that Felix did are just unbelievable. It would have been extremely inconvenient at that point in his life to become a Christian. So many times people want to become a Christian after they've lived their life. One of the great NFL coaches of all times told me his son is also an NFL coach. He said, "My son told me, 'Not now, Dad. Christianity is a message and a religion for old people. When I get old like you are,' he said, 'I'll become a Christian.'" What that NFL coach was saying, it's not convenient for me right now. So it would have been extremely inconvenient for Felix to become a Christian at that point. Two obvious inconveniences. Number one, he would have had to change his lifestyle. You see, if you are a real Christian, you will be commanded by the Holy Spirit to change your lifestyle. He was corrupt. He was known for bribery. He was one that caused an affluence of crime in the entire region because of his susceptibility to bribes. They simply brought him money, and he would do whatever they needed him to do. He would have had to change his lifestyle. Secondly, he would have had to lose his job. The secret of victory in all situations is to rightly divide and enjoy the Word of God. Put the Word of God together as it should be. There's a telecast on television, I see it sometimes, and it is simply teaching the Word of God verse by verse by verse by verse. It goes through the entire Bible. That's not the best kind of teaching. The best kind of teaching is to take a subject and then take all of the teaching in the Word of God in regards to that subject. That way you learn much more about it. And so rightly enjoying the Word of God brings you victory. The writers of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, said it this way: I returned, and I saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. He said, I've lived long enough to realize that the fastest man does not always win the race. The strongest man does not always win the battle. He said the person that is wisest does not always accumulate the most cash. He said, I understand that people of skill are not always the one that gets the favor, but time and chance happens to it all. But Jesus said, he that shall endure unto the end. In fact, endurance is the key. It's not any of these things that the writer of Ecclesiastes listed, but it's endurance. Those that just keep on. Endure what? Endure inconvenience. It's very seldom convenient to be a Christian. If you're going to be a Christian, you must overcome the obstacles of inconvenience. There is a man in the Bible that very few of you know much about because nobody knows much about him. His name is Apollos. He was a contemporary of the Apostle Paul. But the only thing about Apollos, according to the Apostle Paul, is he was head and shoulders above the Apostle Paul in talent and in ability. He simply was. He was much more eloquent. He was much more able to convince. He was an amazing man. The Bible describes him this way: a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scripture. That's how the Bible describes him. The Apostle Paul is described this way: my letters are weighty and powerful, but in my body I am weak, and my speech is contemptible. I might even be considered rude in speech. Compare those people, one that is slow to speak, one that is contemptible in speech, and one that is eloquent in speech. It would seem that Apollos would become the victor and the example of the New Testament of what a Christian should be. There's very few verses about this man of extraordinary ability. Paul writes, when he's writing to the church of Corinth, he says this: as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren. His will was not at all to come at this time, but he will come when he shall have convenient time. The truth is that Apollos was a prisoner of convenience. Apollos greatly more qualified than Paul, but incomparably less effective, because Paul had the victory over inconvenience and Apollos simply did that which was convenient. One man, Apollos, was limited because of his addiction to the inconvenience. He was very limited. But Felix was more than limited. Felix lost his soul because he refused to be inconvenienced by truth. Truth can be very inconvenient. Al Gore has made millions of dollars pointing out what he calls an inconvenient truth. The greatest inconvenient truth is not the environment. It is the ignoring of the gospel. Paul conquered inconvenience and became the superstar of faith and Christianity's greatest apostle. Paul established the fact that the gospel must be preached and obeyed, convenient or not. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That was his advice to a young fledgling preacher. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Everybody is instant in season. They do that which is convenient, but there are a very few people and a small minority that say inconvenience will in no way affect my decision or my actions. I'm going to do what needs to be done regardless of how difficult it is. Solomon write again, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. He said those people that find that it's inconvenient to sow just because of weather conditions, he said they'll never reap much. Most people live just that way. They sow only when it is convenient. They do things only when it is convenient. But there is a small minority of people that rule the world. And they are those that say, I don't care how inconvenient it is, if I do this, by and by, this will be the result. This will be the harvest. The great harvesters are those that learn to sow in the season of inconvenience. In Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 and 12, you've heard it before, but I love it. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And then Isaac sowed in the land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. He's the only one that has the record of blessing in the time of famine, because nobody sows in a famine. Only those that conquer inconvenient. But he did. Jesus embodied the principle of conquering the inconvenient. It was not convenient for him to leave heaven and come to earth, but he did. It was not convenient for him to pray all night in Gethsemane while others slept, but he did. It was not convenient for him to suffer at Calvary while soldiers gambled for his clothing, but he did. Jesus invites us to enjoy the spoils of victory by conquering the evils of inconvenience. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of inconvenience. When Jesus says knock, it's because the door is inconveniently closed. When he says seek, it is because the truth is hiding. When he says ask, it is because the answer is feigning deafness. When he says offer the sacrifice of praise, it is because blessing is hiding again, as in disguise again. There is never a convenient time. Most people would be prayer warriors, but there's just never a convenient time to pray. Most people would be extraordinary givers, but there's never a convenient time to give. You always need to put it somewhere else. Most people would be great witnesses, but it's never a time to share your testimony. Most people would turn the other cheek, but it's just never convenient to turn your cheek. I've told you about my pastor when I was a small boy, the church that I got the Holy Ghost in, that never ever run consistently over 50 people. My pastor was not eloquent. He was not a great preacher. He welded by day and preached by night. He made his living by welding. He was a big man, well over 200 pounds, over 6 feet tall. I saw him stand at the altar, and when an elderly man that was relatively frail found an exception to what was going on in the church, he reached up and slapped my pastor across the face as hard as he could. And my pastor said, did the Holy Ghost tell you to do that? And the man said, he surely did. And he said, my Holy Ghost says turn the other cheek. He turned the other cheek and slapped him again as hard as he could. My pastor never ever responded except to smile and say, brother, I love you. I don't remember one sermon my pastor preached in the years that I attended that church, but I remember that occasion. It helped shape me and mold me to be the person that God wants me to be. It was terribly inconvenient, but here was a man that shaped my life by demonstrating what it means to be an inconvenient Christian. To praise God is not always convenient. It's not convenient when things are going bad, and when the report that you hear is not the one you want to hear, to throw up your hands and say, praise be to God, he's good all the time. That's just not convenient. It's not convenient to be a tither. Sometimes you need to use that money for something else. But there are people in this congregation, regardless if they have car trouble, regardless if they need to pay tuition, regardless if they need to pay a mortgage, they pay their tithe first, because there are people that have overcome inconvenience and said, I put my God first. To share your witness. It's not always convenient to come to church, but this church stands by those that come not occasionally, but the fact that every time we open the doors, we can depend on the core, the inconvenient conquerors, those that say, I really need to stay home and be with my family, but I'm not going to. I'm going to church. I'm as tired as a dog, but I'm going to church. I've got some things I need to take care of, but I'm going to church. This church would not stand here by the occasional Christians. This church stands on this freeway because we have a group of people that have overcome inconvenience, and they said, hell and high water can't stop me. I have made a commitment to God, a vow to the Lord. I will support the kingdom of God. And they do. They support it with their prayers inconveniently, with their praise inconveniently, with their money inconveniently, with their their attendance inconveniently. Those are the people that make sure there is a witness in San Antonio. I applaud you today. I thank you today. I could not be here if it were not for you. It would make no sense for Becky and Pastor Brandon and myself to come to this building service after service if you did not join us. But we gather as the crowd that has overcome inconvenience. It's not always full, but it's always full of the Holy Ghost. And when we come here, we never know when there's going to be somebody that comes, and it's the only time they're ever going to come. And so we create an atmosphere and say, regardless of what happens, the doors will be open, the lights will be shining, there will be a place in San Antonio where the suicidal can find help, where those that are down and out can find a place of rescue. We keep this place open, not because it's convenient, but because we have overcome the enemy of inconvenience and said, we will put everything else aside. Seek first the kingdom of God. Elevate Christ as premier in our life. The Bible says there's a time for all things, but it does not say that there is a convenient time for all things. Sometimes it's just not convenient. But Jesus said there is a time. Now is the time. It's just time. And the writer said it's high time. Felix, go thy way. For this time I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. That's what Felix said to Paul. The call never came. Convenience makes sure it never shows up. Every hero of the Bible defeated inconvenience, every one of them without exception, and they subscribed to importunity. Importunity, the state of being persistent or demanding. If you're going to be an overcomer, you have to become persistent. If you're going to become an overcomer, you have to be demanding. You have to say, I will not be denied. I know that God wants it and I want it, so it doesn't matter what the devil and the world want. I am going to overcome every inconvenience that is thrown my way. Every hero of the Bible, Jacob, it was not easy to overcome the fact that he was born second. It was a great inconvenience, but he wrestled through the night until God said, I'll change your name and give you a blessing. Abraham, it was not easy to save Sodom, but he said, I'll do what I can. I'll just keep interceding. It was not easy to save Isaac and put forth a plan, but he was a man of importunity. David said, it would be very opportune for me to take up on the armor of my king, but I'm not going to do that. I'm simply going to do what God has told me to do. As inconvenient as it is, I'm going to do what God told me to do. God will not always invite you to do the easy. In fact, He'll usually invite you to do the difficult. He will not always invite you to do what is opportune, but He'll say, this doesn't seem right, but this is what I'm asking you to do. And only those that overcome the enemy of inconvenience will trust God. They did in the Bible. The Syrophoenician woman that was denied so many times and called a dog, she said, importunity is my spirit. I will not quit. I will not stop. It's not convenient, but I have a demon-possessed daughter that says I must persist. I can't give up. Is there anything in your life that says it's so important that I can't give up? I can't stop. I've got to keep praying. I've got to keep praising. I've got to keep going. I've got to keep loving. I've got to keep studying. I've got to keep loving God in my life. I simply will not stop. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the spirit that is within me. I simply cannot stop. The widow with the unjust judge, remember, she had an adversary that needed to be avenged. We don't know what that problem was, but we do know that the judge was unjust, and we do know that she wouldn't quit, and we do know that she came every day. Every day she knocked on the door and got a no for answer. Every day the judge was rude to her. Every day he said, don't come back. But she just kept on knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking. You talk about inconvenient. It was more than inconvenient when that widow woman had to get up and prepare herself and dress every day and walk across town by barking dogs and mocking men. She said, I'm going to the judge's chamber and I'll go until I get the answer I need. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves importunity. Those that will not quit. Those that will not be denied. Those that hunger and those that thirst. Those that seek until they find. Those that knock until the door answers. Those that keep coming and saying, God, I know it is your will. I'll keep on coming. She knocked day after day, week after week, month after month, and one day the judge jerked open the door to his chamber and said, oh woman, you are a nuisance. You have inconvenienced me. Every day I've got to answer this door, and every day I tell you the same thing, but I don't want you to ever come back again. And though I might be unjust and I don't fear God or regard man, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Today, I'm granting your request. There's somebody in this building today that's been praying for a long time, but the door is about to open. There's somebody in this building today that has suffered inconvenience. It would have been easier for you not to pray, easier for you not to give, easier for you not to come, easier to drop out as hundreds of your cohorts are, but you just kept on. Let me give you the good news, praise God. God is about to change your name as he did Jacob's name. God is about to open the door as the judge did. God is about to deliver you as God said he would. My God might be a while distant, but he's never in denial. Deferral does not mean denial. And God's in this building right now. And the message is don't quit. Don't stop. Don't give up. It might be painful. It might be inconvenient. It might be expensive. It might cost you friends. It might cost you family. It might cost you luxuries. It simply doesn't matter because you have made up your mind what the goal is. And you will not stop short of the goal. You will not compromise. You will not say this is good enough. You'll say only the victory is what I want and I'll stop, nothing else. There's a good chance there'll never be a convenient time to change your life. You better do it now. You better do it on this morning. Paul waited the rest of his life from a call from Felix, but the call never come. History records that Felix died without becoming a convert to Christianity. He died in terrible, excruciating death, begging for breath. He couldn't breathe. He never came. He didn't come at a relative young age, but he died at a relative young age because he simply didn't give his life to Christ because it was not convenient. I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that there are things in your way that you have to overcome? Do you have to understand that there are mountains you have to overcome? We preached the service for Sister Wanda Phillips in Austin this past week, one of the greatest Christians I've ever known, a tremendous woman of faith. Pastor Phillips told the story at the funeral of how when they were in their little building on Avenue D that would seat probably less than 200 people and it was filled, that she got out in her car hunting for poverty. And it was she that went to East 51st Street and found a sign in the weeds that said property for sale, brought it back to Brother Phillips, and they secured that first few acres right next to the airport. The only problem was when they wanted to build a church, the city said, you can't build a church that close to the airport. You're in the air flight pattern. It just won't work. Finally, they compromised and let them build a little church. But when they wanted to build a bigger church, they said, you can't build that bigger church. Sister Phillips said, God showed me this is our property, and we're going to build this church here. If you go there today, the airport is not there. Sister Phillips preached. It was an international airport. Did Jesus not say to the airport, cast thyself into the sea? I think he did. I don't know what problem you're facing today. The airport is gone, and there's a 2,000-seat church sitting there, and the airport is miles and miles away. Ladies and gentlemen, your problem might be big, but it's not as big as an international airport. I'm telling you that God will move in your behalf. if you'll just realize that inconvenience cannot stop you. You are well able. You're not a grasshopper. You're a giant killer. You're not a shepherd boy. You're a king. God, right now, even though his brothers disdained him, his father overlooked him, God said, David's my boy. He's the one that's going to be the king. And God right now is saying the same thing in this building. You might have been overlooked. You might have been met with disdain. Inconveniences might look like mountains in your pathway. But praise God, I want to announce today the Holy Spirit is oiling somebody's head and he's going to put a crown on you before Christmas time. Something good is going to happen in your life. Don't let inconvenience deter you. Overcome, overcome, overcome. Stay the course. Remember, God is on your side. And if God is on your side, it doesn't matter who is against you. It's hard to stay the course when the choir is saying no. But it's so mandatory that you do, because Jesus Christ is the only voice that counts. It doesn't matter what the multitude says. It doesn't matter what friends, enemy, or family says. It's what Jesus says. Jesus says you can. Jesus says you're more than a conqueror. Jesus says you are an overcomer. Jesus said you are a victor. Jesus said the spoils belong to you. Friend, I'm preaching to a select group today, because by and large, the people that are in this building and what we hope is the tail end of COVID, you are the cream of the crop. You are the overcomers. You are the one that have overcome inconvenience and said, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the devil says. My place is in God's kingdom. I won't quit. I won't compromise. I'll scale the highest mountain. I'll swim the deepest sea. But I simply will not quit, because I know in whom I have believed, and God is the captain and the host of my salvation. Would you jump up on your feet and give God a big applause in this house today? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. When you've lived for the Lord as long as I have, preached the gospel as long as I have, when you look back over your shoulder, you see that the path behind you is littered by those that just found it too inconvenient, and some reason they dropped out. It was just too inconvenient. I told you about my buddies in heaven now. He and I were supposed to start the churches on the very same day in 1975. And I called him to tell him, give me my victory. I gave him my victory report. I said to him, brother, we had 6 in our first service. How many did you have? He said, Brother Steve, I didn't start. Do you know how high mortgage rates are? Do you know what gasoline costs? He listed a whole litany of reasons why he had chosen to put off starting. And now here we are, 46 years later, he never did start that church. It was always just too inconvenient. He died pastoring a little church that somebody else had started. He had amazing ability. He was a great preacher. He did what I always wondered. He could play instruments, keyboards, and guitars, and sing. I couldn't do any of those things, but I'll tell you what I could do. I could conquer inconvenience, and he couldn't. So you don't have to be the best looking or the smartest or the toughest. You don't have to be the tallest or the strongest or the quickest, but you have to be able to conquer inconvenience to be a victor. And that's the people that I believe I'm preaching to today, that simply put their shoulder to the wheel and say, I don't care. Hell, give me your best shot. You won't get me down. If you do get me down, I'll pop back up. I've got an internal buoyancy that can't be conquered. I just pop right back up. I'm here to stay, praise God. I salute every one of you. I thank God that you're not as talented as Apollos was, but you are as strong as the Apostle Paul. Give me a Paul over an Apollos every time. He might be weak in speech. He might not be eloquent like Apollos, but praise God, he just keeps coming. He just keeps coming. He just keeps coming, and that's who you are. If you're in this room today and you realize that you're facing a giant, you're facing